All right, welcome back to the Divine Office Podcast. We're going to offer worship to God this morning, thanking God, praying to God in the words of the Bible, in the words of the Word of God, the inspired words of the sacred authors. And we're also going to have a 5 to 10 minute handing on the faith segment afterward. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. So here we go. We have the invitatory to try to snap ourselves out of whatever's going on in our lives and pay attention to God's word. Psalm 24, the Lord's entry into his temple. The Lord's is the earth in its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas. On the waters he made it firm. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who is not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant. The Lord, the valiant in war. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. O gates, lift higher heads, grow higher ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies, he is the King of glory. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. So we also have an optional memorial, but it's not really given a special hymn. So we have the hymn from I Breviary, or the psalm from I Breviary. O splendor of the Father's light, emitting glorious light from light, true light of light and source of light, the day illumining day. Descend into our soul, true sun, resplendent with eternal ray. Pour out upon our mind and heart the Holy Spirit's radiant beam. And to the Father let us pray, the Father of all majesty, the Father of all power and grace. May he remove the lure of sin. May he imbue in our acts with strength, and blunt the teeth of envious strife. In harsh misfortune bring us good, and grant us the grace to persevere. May he direct and rule our minds, in bodies faithful, chaste, and pure. May faith enkindled never know the deadly poison of deceit. Let Christ himself become our food, our faith in him become our drink. Let us imbue with deepest joy the Spirit's sober drunkenness. Then let this day proceed with joy, our modesty be like the dawn, our faith resplendent as the noon, our soul untouched by dusk and night. The dawn rides forth along her course, so let our perfect dawn arise, both Son in Father, Holy One, and Father holy in his word. Amen. Psalmity. Blessed are they who dwell in your house, O Lord. Psalm 84, longing for God's temple. Here we do not have a lasting city. We seek a home that is yet to come. Hebrews 13:14. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord God of armies. My soul is longing and yearning, is yearning for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my soul ring out their joy to God, the living God. The sparrow herself finds a home, and the swallow a nest for her brood. She lays her young by your altars, Lord of armies, my King and my God. Blessed are they who dwell in your house, O Lord. They are happy who dwell in your house, forever singing your praise. They are happy whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the roads to Zion. Blessed are they who dwell in your house, O Lord. As they go through the bitter valley, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain covers it with blessings. They walk with ever-growing strength. They will see the God of gods in Zion. Blessed are they who dwell in your house, O Lord. O Lord God of armies, of multitudes, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Turn your eyes, O God, our shield. Look on the face of your anointed. One day within your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. The threshold of the house of God I prefer to the dwellings of the wicked. For the Lord God is a rampart, a shield. He will give us his favor and glory. The Lord will not refuse any good to those who walk without blame. Lord, God of armies, happy the man who trusts in you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Father, bless your people. You have given us the law that we may walk from strength to strength and raise our minds to you from this valley of tears. May we receive the gifts you have gained for us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed are they who dwell in your house, O Lord. Come, let us climb the mountain of the Lord. And our canticle is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. The mountain of the Lord's dwelling towers above every mountain. All peoples shall come and worship in your presence, Revelation 15:4. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Come, let us climb the mountain of the Lord. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths. Come, let us climb the mountain of the Lord. For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between nations and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. Come, let us climb the mountain of the Lord. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us climb the mountain of the Lord. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Father, we pray for the conversion of the Jewish people, and we pray that we too will rely on the Holy Spirit's gifts, his power, that we will seek his counsel daily and become more attentive to the subtle promptings of the Spirit. In honor of Mary's gifts from the Holy Spirit, we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, let us climb the mountain of the Lord. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Psalm 96. The Lord, King and Judge of the world. A new theme now inspires their praise of God. They belong to the Lamb. Revelation 14:3. O sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. O sing to the Lord, bless his name. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his name. Proclaim his help day after day, day by day. Tell among the nations his glory and his wonders among the peoples. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. The Lord is great and worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of the heathens are not. It was the Lord who made the heavens. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. His are majesty and state and power and splendor in his holy place. Give the Lord, you families of peoples. Give the Lord glory and power. Give the Lord the glory of his name. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Bring an offering and enter his courts. Worship the Lord in his temple. O earth, tremble before him. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim to the nations, God is king. The world he made firm in its place. He will judge the peoples in fairness. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Let the heavens rejoice and earth be glad. Let the sea and all within it thunder praise. Let the land and all it bears rejoice. All the trees of the wood shout for joy. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. At the presence of the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. With justice he will rule the world. He will judge the peoples with his truth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, you have renewed the face of the earth, and yet we await your promise of restoration of our society, our church, and our world, and a new evangelization that you yourself will do with signs, wonders, and miracles. Through a virgin, you brought the great miracle, the incarnation of the one who was God from God, as an infant, a tiny little baby boy in our world. Through his miracles, you announced his messiahship to the people of the covenant, as he announced his preaching in his kingdom. Through his suffering, you overcame sin, and it introduced to us the possibility of becoming like him. In your resurrection, we see our end and objective, a new hope that we could never have imagined, to live forever and to be endowed with a spiritual body. In his ascension, we see his love for you, O Father, and his gift of the Spirit. Grant us your grace and might. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Father, we again ask for the conversion of the Jewish people and the conversion of ourselves. Not to be able to curse and swear, not to be angry at each other, but to be patient like Christ was patient when he was rebuked by his own people who should have been his servants. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Now we're going to read from the book of Genesis again today, and we're going to read the follow-on from yesterday's reading. In fact, since we didn't read it yesterday, I'll just read both of them. The Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the earth and said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I fetch a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourself, and after that you may pass by, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent of Sarah, and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set them before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you in the spring, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old, and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'I shall indeed bear a child. Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you in the spring, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "No, but you did laugh." Then the men came out from there, and they looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set out on their way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves by him? No, for I have chosen him, that he may charge his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry which has come to me. And if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, Willst thou indeed destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose that there are 50 righteous within the city. Willst thou then destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from thee to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I shall spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham answered, Behold, I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will thou destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again he spoke to him and said, Suppose 40 are found there. He answered, For the sake of 40 I will not do it. Then he said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there. He answered, I will not do it, if I find 30 there. He said, Behold, I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. He answered, For the sake of the 20 I will not destroy it. Then he said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again but this once. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, For the sake of 10 I will not destroy it. And the Lord went by his way. When he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth, and said, My lords, turn aside, I pray you, to your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way. They said, No, we will spend the night in the street. But he urged them strongly, so that they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast, and baked unleavened bread. And they ate, but before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them. Abraham went out of the door to the men, shut the door behind him, and said, I beg you, brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have 2 daughters who have not known man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof. But they said, Stand back. And they said, This fellow came to sojourn, and he would play the judge? Now, we will deal worse with you than with them. Then they pressed hard against the man Lot, and drew near to break the door. But the men put forth their hands and brought Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the door of the house, both great and small, so that they wearied themselves groping for the door. Then the men said to Lot, Have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, daughters, sons, daughters, or any one you have in the city, bring them out of this place, for we are about to destroy this place, because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, Arise, take your wife and your 2 daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. But he lingered, so the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him forth and set him outside the city. And when they had brought them forth, they said, "Flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Flee to the hills, lest you be consumed. The sun has risen on the earth." When Lot came to Zoar, then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And so this skips a little bit of the story, this part, but where they go to the villages around Sodom and Gomorrah and save them. But then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife sat behind him. Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the land went up, the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. In place of our homily for morning prayer, let us read from St. Clement of Rome's great letter to the Corinthians. Dear friends, let us obey the sovereign, glorious will of God. Let us cast ourselves in entreaty upon his mercy and kindness, and turn back once more to his compassion. Let us have done with our vain struggles, our discords, and the jealousy which leads to death, and direct our gaze instead toward the men who perfectly served his glorious majesty. Look at Enoch, for example. He was found righteous in his obedience and was taken away by God, so that no trace was ever found of his death. Noah, too, was found faithful. His ministry was to be the herald of rebirth, for through him the Lord saved all the living creatures which agreed to enter the ark together. Abraham, whom God called his friend, proved his loyalty by his obedience to God's orders. He forsook his country, his kindred, and his father's house out of obedience, so that leaving behind a restricted homeland, an obscure family, and a little house, he might inherit the promises of God. For God had said to him, "Come away from your land, your kindred, and your father's house, into a land which I am going to show you. I will make you into a mighty nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be blessed. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the races of the earth will be blessed in you." And again, at the time of his separation from Lot, God said to him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are standing toward the north and the south, to the sunrise and to the sea, for I am going to give all the land you can see to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as many as the earth's grains of sand. If anyone is able to number the grains of the sand on this ground, then he will be able to count your descendants too." Elsewhere, Scripture tells us, God took Abraham outside and said to him, "Look up to heaven and count the stars, if it is in your power to reckon them. That is what your posterity will be like." And Abraham believed God, and this was accounted to him as righteousness. In view of his faith and his hospitality, a son was granted to him in his old age, and in obedience he offered the boy as a sacrifice to God on one of the mountains that he had shown him. Lot was rescued from Sodom because of his hospitality and piety, when the whole surrounding countryside was punished by fire and brimstone. In this way, the Lord made it clear that he does not abandon those who hope in him, but he does consign the rebellious to chastisement and torment. A sign of this was given when Lot's wife, who had indeed left Sodom with her husband, but was inconsistent in mind, and out of harmony with him, was turned into a pillar of salt. So she remains to this day, as a reminder to all of us that waver, all of us that those who waver, who doubt God's power, are condemned to stand as a warning sign for all generations. And I believe I forgot the responsory prayer, but we'll go get it now, at least for the scripture reading. Master, you have told us the truth. There is one God, and we must love him with all our heart. To love our neighbor as ourselves is more than any holocaust or sacrifice. To return a kindness is like an offering of fine flour. The Lord God delights to see us turn away from evil. To love our neighbor as ourselves is more than any holocaust or sacrifice. Now we have that beautiful prayer of the morning prayer, the Canticle of Mary, the Gospel Canticle, not the Canticle of Mary, but the Canticle of Zechariah. Blessed be the Lord our God. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be the Lord our God. And for the common of virgins, we can have special intercessions from the common of virgins, I believe for St. Angela today. Christ is the spouse and crowning glory of virgins. Let us praise him with joy in our voices and pray to him with sincerity in our hearts. Jesus, crown of virgins, hear us. Christ, the holy virgins loved you as their one true spouse. Grant that nothing may separate us from your love. You crowned Mary, your mother, queen of virgins. Through her intercession, let us continually serve you with pure hearts. Your handmaids were always careful to love you with whole and undivided attention, that they might be holy in body and spirit. Through their intercession, grant that the lure of this passing world may not distract our attention from you. Lord Jesus, you are the spouse whose coming was anticipated by the wise virgins. Grant that we may wait for you in hope and expectation. Through the intercession of St. Angela, who was one of the wise and prudent virgins, grant us wisdom and innocence of life. Now, gathering our prayers into one, we pray the prayer that the Lord taught us. After, we also intercede for Israel to be converted, for Bill to be healed from anxiety and chronic illness. And we pray for all the intentions of your heart that you desire most, provided they be in accord with God's will. Jesus, crown of virgins, hear us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Lord, may St. Angela commend us to your mercy. May her charity and wisdom help us to be faithful to your teaching, and to follow it in our lives. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Tomorrow is the great memorial of the doctor, the great great Dominican doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas. So as we look, I promise, you've had a long time listening to the Word of God in Scripture and tradition. I promise I'm not going to talk long. Just want to share something from Acts chapter 20. When he had finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with them all. They were all weeping out loud as they threw their arms around Paul and kissed him, for they were deeply distressed that he had said that they would never see his face again. Then he escorted him to the ship. Paul says, You know well that these very hands have served my needs and my companions. In every way I have shown you that by hard work of that sort we must help the weak, and keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with them all. So it's when Paul is departing from one of the communities that he spent time pastoring and discipling. This is their experience of the great apostle. And he also gives you a saying of Jesus that's not in the canonical gospels. So if you want to look back at our beautiful readings today, I think maybe what they're saying to us today has a lot to do with addressing how do we know what God says is true? How do we know what the Bible says is true? How do we know what this church says is true? So if you remember when we talked about sacred tradition, I brought up this very scripture as an example within the Bible itself of the process by which sacred tradition can have other parts of Jesus's original deposit of faith that are not written down. Now, I talked to you about some ways that we can kind of counterbalance an excessive view, almost like, okay, the apostles had all this extra knowledge that they never wrote down, and then it was passed down by oral memorization. No, it wasn't passed down by oral memorization, but Jesus himself taught us the right way to live. He abrogated those things that were in the Old Testament, like that you can divorce your wife just for callous reasons. You could divorce your wife. He restored God's original plan in Genesis. And he taught us how to live. And then he gave the apostles the ability to understand what he said when he discipled them slowly. And after training them, he gave them the Holy Spirit. So already at the very beginning, without talking about ordinary or extraordinary magisterium or anything, you already see that Jesus has formed a radically countercultural community. Now, one that knows how to identify sin. It's not as if, granted, there's always going to be things that are new situations that come up, but it's not as if the apostles are somehow in doubt. You know, a lot of people today are in doubt about what is really going on. And it's worse yet when people are not in doubt and they think, like the people of Sodom did, you know, everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. The world around us is great. It's just my political enemies. They're the only problem. You know, that's spiritual pride, I think, and it's spiritual blindness. If not pride, then blindness to what's really going on around us. You know, I have this conversation many times. Why are you still Catholic? Do you believe everything that the church teaches? Do you have to believe every catechism paragraph in order to be Catholic? I have had that conversation, and it's an important one, again and again. The answer is no, you don't have to believe everything in the catechism to be Catholic. But there's a hierarchy of truths. And if you're not able to find your path to salvation by listening to God with the obedience of faith, well, it's kind of self-defeating to be Catholic. Now, does that mean that everyone has to agree with everything that the Pope says, or everything that the Church has enunciated, or everything that is written in the canons of the, you know, in of not the canons, but the documents of Vatican II? No, it doesn't. But it does mean, for example, that we shouldn't be spiritually blind. I mean, really, if people think that the world we live in is great, and they think that everything's fine, and the only thing wrong is that, you know, people in the church don't want us to be free. And they think very negatively of the church. And they think very positively of Hollywood and secular media and all the expressions of happiness that are out there. I'd say there's a very high chance that they are spiritually blind. And yes, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a big problem for them. Now, it's also the thing to point out is that God says many things to us in the Bible. Again, Jesus had already given the apostles the ability to understand how to pastor a community, to understand how to identify sin, to understand what the essence of his beatitudes, of his kingdom was. And you know, when you look back at the catechism, it has a beautiful paragraph, so powerful, speaking about how every part of our faith, every word that Jesus speaks, every action that he does, his incarnation and passion and death, all of theology, in a way, as Bishop Robert Barron says, is a response to this great question that many atheists raise. Why is there evil if God is all good and all powerful? Why doesn't he just eliminate evil? And the church itself has enunciated very powerfully a great answer with its ordinary magisterium in the Catechism. It's at the beginning of the Catechism. I believe we read from it once, and you can look it up, though I don't have the number right now. But let's look at that for a second. Because God wants to be involved in our lives. That's why why can God give us such strict rules, okay? Why can God say you absolutely can't do certain acts? They're called intrinsically evil acts in moral theology. I think it's just my opinion. It's because God wants to be passionately involved in our lives and in the lives of our societies. He wants to do miracles. He wants to step in, and he also wants to guide things by his providence. You know, it wouldn't make any sense if God were this distant God who never did anything with us to give us such strict rules. And that way you can kind of sympathize with the atheists, right? If it really were that God were as far away as they thought and didn't have any ability to do anything for us, it would make no sense to bind us with all these rules. It would just be cruel and insane, you know? But what our story today from Sodom and Gomorrah shows us, I think, is God's passionate wrath against sin is passionate, is the flip side of God's passionate love. And what you see there is this tradition of sin in Sodom. Again, we talked about original sin, how easily we can get spinning off into not being the image of God, being disoriented, being taken in by a false wisdom within ourselves that causes us, the little image between our self-understanding, our mind, and our love of things to become broken and to become disoriented so that we do things. But there it's become a tradition. And when God and his two angels come to the city, you know, some people think it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but most likely the original author just meant God and two of his chief angels. What did they encounter? They encounter all the wickedness and all the hate that is hidden, maybe not displayed in perhaps the law-abiding citizens, but maybe as private. And it comes out to meet this bright light that is the Lord God and his two angels. And they get attacked. And they get totally taken advantage of, just brutally. But God blinds them. God judges them, and God himself is involved in this situation. God saves those who hope in him, and God is there with him. Okay, I talked too long. I'm sorry.